Hello, and welcome to Evolving Consciousness, the podcast where you discover more about the invisible world of energy, consciousness, spirituality, and all the things that help you create your dreamiest life and business yet. Here's your host, Stacey Hartman.
Hello, and welcome back. We're going to do some more digging into some of the channeling that's been coming through. This is a message that I channeled very early on in this new way that I've been channeling as a trance channel or a voice channel. I've been holding on to this one. It was rather shocking for me to receive it and connect back in with it. It can be triggering. It can lead you to feeling maybe lost and confused about who you are and what's really important and why you're here. And how's that for a raving endorsement to have a listen to this podcast? But it's really cool and it brings in a different perspective. And I think it's important to flip things on their head. And that's how we really shift paradigms. And that's exactly what the message that came through this particular session that I had is doing for me and for many people. It might leave you questioning your entire identity, but we know that as we're evolving in our consciousness and growing and expanding, it requires a lot of shedding. It requires a lot of shedding of our current identities to create the space for the new identity, the new experience from a different level of consciousness and a different perspective to show up and reveal itself. And so this might create some of that shedding for you today, to start to question and really explore the depths of your own awareness, consciousness, and energy, and how, as much as you think that that disposition of who you are and that identity that you might be very attached to is helping humanity, how you might actually be doing more harm or hurting more so than helping. So this is going to be interesting, and I'm going to share my own thoughts as they come up as I go through this particular transcript, because it left me with more questions than answers. And I think that's a powerful place to be. We know that the way God, universe, source works is that, and where we kind of overstep our role frequently, is that rather than trying to find the answers, one of the most important and beautiful things we can do is hold the question. And so, like I said, this particular channeling session left me with a lot of questions that I'm holding and that I'm receiving from God, universe, source, different answers too. So I hope it sparks you. I hope it kind of cracks you open to a different idea or perspective. And as it cracks you open, I also hope it creates more simplicity in your life, more trust, more surrender, more connection to source, deeper individuation into the unique soul you are here to be, and how that alone contributes to the whole of humanity. And maybe it'll release the pressure valve. Maybe it'll release some of the pushing and striving and trying to prove to yourself certain things. So that's my intention for today's session. Some of the topics that we go into are the illusory self, the small self that many believe are the real self, and how that inhibits our growth and our expansion. A topic we're also going to dive into is a lot of polarity stuff. They gave me a beautiful, just incredible image of a tug of war game and how this game keeps going on that's creating all the polarity in our world right now in particular. And it has always been here, but this next version of our world, it doesn't have to be this way. There is a place in between the polarity. And that was a big message that's going to come through as we dive into this today as well. And I also, they shared two very specific examples with me around those of us that have been passionate about healing the earth, as well as those that are passionate about healing the humans on the earth. So this is about the earth and also medicine and traditional medicine. And they also reminded me of some of my own stories and how I contribute to this polarity. And probably one of the more triggering aspects of the message I'm going to share today has to do with activism. And if there really is a place for activism and truly helping people in this next phase. And that's the message that really left me with a lot of questions. And I think it's going to leave you with a lot of questions too. And I think it's going to be amazing to hear what sort of higher wisdom answers start dropping into your field as you tune into those questions. So I invite you to, as always, have an open mind, really feel into how this resonates with you, what this means for you, really lean into what parts you find yourself having emotional reactivity to or feeling triggered by. This is a big one. And I might just be procrastinating getting right into it because I know how huge it is, but also how liberating it can be. All right, let's go ahead and dive in. I pick up this transcript a little bit further along, so it will all make sense. And again, I invite you to just set intention that your energy field is open. Allow what resonates to truly instantaneously permeate your energetic field. And even if your mind can't keep up with some of the things that are channeling through because the energy is just at a different level, I know my mind can't keep up with a lot of it. Just trust and know that whatever is meant to seep into your heart and your higher wisdom and your unique journey in this consciousness evolution will just happen. You don't have to effort for it. And it's okay if your mind can't understand it. There is so much happening at so many different levels, which is exactly what we talked about in the last podcast around telepathic communication. This communication is not just happening at the level of the mind. And so I just invite you to be open to using your own discernment and trusting the experience that you're having and what it's bringing up. All right, let's go ahead and dive into this transcript. So the beings of light start by saying, "These are the hallmarks of the lower levels of consciousness, where it is all about the self, the small self, the little self, the illusory self, and that illusory self believes it is the real self, the whole self. And that is ultimately what is creating a dim, dark, polarizing place on this earth because they have shut themselves off from accessing the higher wisdom. They have shut themselves off from being able to experience and see all of the beauty that already is. They're looking for something they already have, which is why they will never be able to find it. And this time, this is the time for people to remember. And there are so many light beings here in human form and in spirit form to help people remember. But many people don't want to remember. They would rather hold on to the belief that they have it all figured out. They believe that the path that society has conditioned them to take is the way to get to the fulfillment and abundance and happiness and joy their soul is craving. They continue to look outside of themselves for something that can only be found in and fulfilled from the inside out. And even those that are on the spiritual journey and think that they have found it or a path to it, or that there is some arrival, they are still projecting outwardly that there's something external outside of themselves that is going to create this reality. So this is to help people, this message is to help people stop clamoring, climbing, striving, pushing, and manipulating. It is a call for fully surrendering, to let it all go and drop it like a heavy bag of rocks. Just drop it and stop it. I asked them, so what does this world look like if that happens? When more people wake up to this realization that things don't matter as much as they think they do, and they don't matter as much as they think they do. And this was their response. It is peaceful. It is still. Everything has an opportunity to start to grow. Energy can self-organize. That part right there gives me goosebumps. It moves me to truth tears. And this is where the message starts to go deeper about how we can surrender and how can we can allow for something really incredible to happen in its own natural organic way. I'm just going to read that part again and let that really sink in for myself and for you. When I asked them, what will this world look like when people realize that they don't matter as much as they believe they do, and that really nothing in this illusion matters? And again, what they said is, it is peaceful. It is still. Everything has an opportunity to grow. Energy can self-organize. Whew. This is where it gets interesting. They went on to say, there is so much interference. Humans use interference when they think they are trying to help. But the reality is, the more they try to help, the worse they make it. They brought up an example of myself. Stacy has been noticing this pattern in herself. She sees her children start to struggle or just even have a hard time finding something in the fridge, and she rescues them over and over and over again. Even just helping them open a container that they are struggling to open. She interferes and rescues them. And it is all interference. It is interference with the self-organizing properties of energy. All of the heroes that want to save the world, it's all just interference. Everybody that wants to do good, that wants to help humanity, it's all just interference. The real pathways for each single person is to tap into their own soul, to tap into their own inner guidance, and not to be rescued by those outside of themselves. And this is what Stacy teaches and identifies as the child archetype, the overreactive and the underreactive child. Either people want to save or they want to be saved. And sometimes it's both. But this will never happen. You cannot save, and you cannot be saved by anything external of yourself. Interference is meddling like a helicopter parent. The helicopter parent is interfering with everything as they try to make things better. I'm just going to stop here for a second and share what's already coming up around this message. One is energy self-organizes. And how true is that when we think about creation in and of itself? When we think about how energy self-organizes to create a human, it's all divinely orchestrated, meticulously played out. And yes, the carrier of that child, the mother, takes care of herself usually as best as she can. And there are many times that mothers don't take that great of care of themselves, yet it is still all divinely orchestrated. And beautifully, energy just creates. It creates in its own accord. And so as we dig into these topics, I started with, you know, they shared with this simple thing, like we can identify it pretty easily as parents, how we enable as opposed to empower. And I saw this a lot in the criminal justice system when I was working with disadvantaged youth and at-risk teenagers. There was one culprit that was so clear, and we see it a lot in the addiction space as well. that I don't think is a coincidence that the kids who were having the hardest time being a law-abiding citizen were the same kids whose parents were incredibly enabling. Were their parents rarely held their kids accountable or to a level of self-responsibility. And even when I started working with teenagers, I remember when I first went into this nonprofit organization that I had partnered with, one of the things I noticed of all the youth workers is that they were incredibly burnt out. They were constantly responding to crisis. They were a crisis response youth organization. And one of the things that I observed as a great opportunity is, what if instead of responding to crises, when a kid needs something in a moment, when a kid is having a fight with a boyfriend, or when a kid is kicked out of their house, or when a kid runs away, what if instead of constantly responding to these crises and enabling these kids and rescuing them, we empowered them and taught them how to do the work that we were doing for them for themselves? Or another very popular analogy, what if rather than giving them a fish, we taught them to fish? And as hard as that is, because in the immediate, when the crisis and the emotions are running high, and when it feels like a crisis, our tendency is to just want to solve that crisis in that moment. And how much damage does that actually do for the long term? And this is the difference between the third level of consciousness and the fifth level of consciousness. The first level of consciousness, third level of consciousness, and the fifth level of consciousness. The third level of consciousness is very much, I mean, the lower levels of consciousness very much have a sense of urgency and immediacy to them. And the higher levels of consciousness take a broader perspective where we're able to actually recognize and see that while this might help in this moment, how does it really help for the long term, for sustainability, for true growth and transformation, not just for an immediate reprieve? And I want to be clear, I'm not saying that crisis intervention isn't also important. What I think is important is to be able to do both and to be able to discern where that line is, when it is enabling and when it is empowering. When is the time for crisis response and meeting somebody's basic needs because it's a true need? And when do we over crisis respond? And as a result, stunt people's growth from knowing how powerful they are and how capable they are of saving themselves. And this is what creates dependency. I mean, I'm talking about our juvenile justice system, which we already know is broken. The recidivism rates for our entire judicial system are incredibly high. And I think this is why, because we are a society that is very good at rescuing people and saving people. But as a result, they don't learn how to save themselves. And they don't tap into their higher wisdom and their inner resources and their intuition. And that is what actually creates sustainable change. So that was my main goal when I came into youth work. And what happened was absolutely incredible. And you're going to hear me share this over and over and over again. We watched kids who had been at risk, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, their whole life, foster care, to the juvenile justice system, to failing out of school, to not believing they can ever graduate. We watched 90% plus of those kids significantly reduce their dropout rate factors. We watched kids who were on the fail list get to the A honor roll in a semester's time. We watched kids who were passionate about playing sports but ineligible due to drug use become eligible, but not only become eligible, become successful and actually be recruited and pursued for college athletics. And all of this happened in such a short amount of time. And I believe the reason why it was able to happen was because of this perspective and this commitment that I had to not enable, that as hard as it was in any given moment, and when emotions were running really high, that I would use that time to empower and to teach and to unlock their inner resources and not give them the resources. And we do that through coaching. That's what coaching is. And I watched the youth workers who were still doing crisis response in the same organization. And I had the luxury of helping kids find their power and unlock it and create their reality that they owned 1,000%. And they were curious. They're like, it looks like you're having fun. It looks like this is really enjoyable and kids are getting results. How are you doing that? And that led to this entire organization taking a new approach. And it was amazing. Because youth workers were no longer burnt out and kids were being served in a totally different way that was more sustainable. And that was well over a decade ago that I participated in that project. And I still hear from those kids today. I still run into them, and who they are and who they've become is just inspiring. Okay, that was a little side tangent there. But if you think about that, and now we're going to go into some of these other bigger topics. I mean, we talked about how I enable my kids. We talk about how what we see in juvenile justice and at-risk youth, and how enabling, if it's not their parents, how enabling nonprofits can be as opposed to empowering. And now I want to take it a little bit deeper based on what the beings of light shared in this transcript. The earth can heal herself. It is not necessary for humanity to try and save the earth. Humanity needs to just get out of the way. Allow her to heal herself. She can do it. She is directly tapped in and connected to source on every level. She is the one who understands more than anything. She is alive and breathing consciousness, high levels of consciousness. And the humans are constantly interfering with her. Nothing needs to be saved. We do not need to save the earth. We need to leave her alone. We need to save ourselves. We create problems so we can fix problems. That is the true polarity of what is happening in humanity right now. Half of humanity creates the problems, and they are creating the problems for the other half of humanity to rescue and save them from the problems. But it is not anybody's fault, because they are both the same frequency, those who are ruining the earth and those who are saving the earth. It is the exact same energy of interfering. They are interfering with her ability to heal herself and self-organize. And they both exist for each other. The people who are saving the earth don't know or believe that they would have a purpose if they weren't saving the earth. So they actually need people to fuck up the earth. And as much as they love to hate the ones who are doing the damage to the earth and to the earth's people, they simply exist to play hero. And the minute that the heroes don't need to play hero anymore, the people doing the damage have no purpose for their existence. So can't you see? They always say that. Can't you see? Both sides are distinctly interfering with the ability for the energy to self-organize. One is the tyrant, destructive child, and the other is the parent cleaning up the mess. But neither would know who they are without the other. And the reality is it's too scary for them to see who they really are. And so this is such a perfect decoy, because in this way, they believe they are saving humanity. But the decoy is they are unwilling to actually serve themselves and save themselves. This is what Carl Jung meant by individuation. If we just simply focus on ourselves and nobody else, focus on tapping into our own inner guidance system, focus on tapping into our own creative resources, tapping into our soul and recognizing it. Every single one of our purposes is exactly the same, and it is to grow and expand your own consciousness and the experience of it, to experience more dimensions of yourself. And in that experience with yourself, to start to also experience other people. This is a little picture of the matrix and how it is. It's all so intertwined. And this is what they mean when they say sovereign beings. Sovereign simply means a commitment to oneself, a commitment to making choices from the heart and the soul, a commitment to hearing source's guidance and following it, to increasing and being in a frequency that allows us to be guided. And when we are guided, it is inherently for the good of all. Whew, okay, this is a big one. Many are walking around with this belief that if they're not helping people or making an impact, that they don't know who they are. And one of the questions I asked in the Unleashed Experience, which is one of a super affordable low-end course available on my website. One of the questions I asked is, if you were truly the last human on this earth, what would you do and who would you be that would allow you to still experience the highest levels of consciousness? And the majority of the people that have went through the Live Unleashed programs with me can't fathom that idea. The majority of them actually say that they wouldn't want to be here anymore because their entire purpose is wrapped up in helping other people. They wouldn't know who they were without other humans and without connection. And these are highly spiritual, conscious souls. And you think about that. If your purpose wasn't to help other people, what would you make that mean about yourself? And this is an identity that many really don't want to drop. There is a deep attachment to this label of being somebody who makes a difference, of being somebody who creates impact. I recognize it very clearly. And what I'm coming to learn and understand is that that impact is inherent as you individuate, as you really focus on the true identity of who you are. At the beginning, when this message opened up, when the beings of light were talking about the small self and the illusory self, being so attached to this identity of being helpful and having a purpose, and that purpose doesn't exist unless other humans exist, is giving a lot of power away to sources, to humans outside of yourself. And so one of the questions that I've been sitting with then is, okay, if, and part of the answer that started dropping in already is, okay, if I'm not here to create an impact, if I'm not here to help people evolve their consciousness, if I'm not here to support people, if that's not my purpose, then why am I here? And I can tell you the answers that have been dropping in. The answers are, it's a bigger purpose. It's beyond this human realm. The bigger purpose is, and we're going to get into this a little bit further, they actually reveal this bigger purpose, is to come so home to your own soul, to reclaim all of those aspects of who you are, the everything that you are, the all things that you are, and to experience that journey. And to, in that journey, be able to be so tapped in and connected to source that you can ask a question and source provides an answer instantly. That you can have a desire for the simple reason to experience that desire and watch and experience the intuitive guidance and synchronistic mayhem that unfolds a new experience for you. One of the messages that's been coming through so clearly is that Source is experiencing life through us. Source created humans. The Source, God, it doesn't matter what you refer, the Source, I say Gus, God, Universe, Source, the Source created us in order to have 3D experiences through us. We are extensions of Source. Source is experiencing the world through us. And every experience is equal. There is no judgment about a single experience. And when we can be guided or intuitively led, that is divine orchestration. That is the grid. That is Source creating new experiences and how all of humanity is interconnected. All right, this is a massive topic. I can already feel my own brain getting a little lost in it. So we're just going to go back to the transcript and see what else comes through. We left off at, to increasing and being in a frequency that allows us to be guided. And when we are guided, it is inherently for the good of all. Oh, I just got to chime into that one. I mean, think about that. What if we didn't need to think about all of the ways that we can help? What if it was as simple as just my favorite thing to say, insight act? What if it was as simple as having discernment of when higher wisdom guides you to take action in some direction and you do it? And knowing for certainty that any action or insight or idea that is coming from that place, that intuitive higher wisdom place, is already infused and embedded with the highest good for you and the highest good for all. You wouldn't need to question it. You wouldn't need to make it become more than what it is. It's really that simple. You are guided to go to the coffee shop. You show up at the coffee shop and have an interaction that forever transforms your life and somebody else's life. It's divinely orchestrated. That's the synchronistic grid. And what if it really is that simple? For us to become so connected to ourselves that we can receive that guidance and just trust and know that it's already for the good of all, that it's exactly what the entire whole of humanity needed in that moment. And that is true flow. And that is Gus using our human to move through this world. And that is what more and more people like you are waking up to. The power of your intuition, the power of higher guidance and higher wisdom. The biggest challenge that I've seen with my clients is trusting it and knowing that they are fully provided for when they're on that path of following it and surrendering the shoulds and the steps they think they need to be taking and the things they think they need to be doing in their businesses and truly just following that flow of energy and watching the magic happen. Okay, so back to the transcript. And now, rather than trying to fight against what we hate, because whatever we hate, we create, we are just simply guided. And as we are guided, and many of us end up being guided in the same direction at the same time, the energy self-organizes and everything, humans and the earth, self-heals. Now they bring forward another example. The same is true with the medical system. And where this is really coming from is with the pandemic and watching and witnessing the polarity and everything that has been happening in the world. Right now, it is currently December of 2021. We're coming up on a 2-year anniversary of madness and chaos and polarity and opinions in every direction and righteousness and projection and all of this like really wild stuff has been happening these last couple of years. And I often say I'm somebody who's been just truly an massive observer of all of this, the politics, the back and forth, and this transcript's going to get deeper into some of these pieces too. And I have to say that I think being in the middle and having neutrality and not picking a side is the only thing that both sides can agree is not okay. So I'm like, okay, if I'm the neutral party, and I know there's many others of you out there that truly have some neutrality around all this and are seeing it through an energetic lens and seeing what's actually happening through an energetic lens, and not taking it so seriously in any direction. I mean, it's the same energy on both ends of the spectrum. Again, it's a tough place to be but it's also a reconciling place to be, because again, it's the one thing that both sides, both ends of the spectrum can agree that you should be making a choice and you should be picking a side, and they can't understand or really know how you can't pick a side or how you can't see the way the world, the way that they see the world. Anyways, so when they brought this forward, it really was brought forward, I believe, because of this current situation that's happening in the world with the virus and bringing clarity and bringing clarity and messaging to inspire more of that neutrality. Okay. Trying to save all the humans is the exact thing that's creating all the sickness. They feed each other, because if one half of the equation did not exist, the other half also could not exist. We need six people, so the other pendulum believes they have some purpose. These are illusory purposes. They are illusions. The only purpose that every single being has is for them to be their own unique expression and imprint. That is the purpose. It's like a snowflake. Every single person's purpose is to just simply be the expression as their own unique snowflake. There truly is not a single one alike. Yet we start to all look alike and be alike because we are not tapped into our own souls, our soul's essence, our own blueprint, our imprint, our uniqueness. And what people need to understand is that uniqueness may not be seen by the human eyes, but it is a unique energetic frequency that contributes to the whole of humanity. And most people are trying so hard to be different and unique, to stand out, to not be like everyone else, not realizing that, again, the energy will self-organize, that uniqueness is a frequency in the unseen realm. It is a unique imprint and contribution happening in an unseen, overarching way. It is not the uniqueness of our physical expression. It's the uniqueness of our energy expression, in our frequency expression. And as we tap into the uniqueness of our frequency expression, the human expression is automatically unique in and of itself. It's no longer about being different. It is just simply transforming into different as the energy self-organizes. And then you start to see every single person as the beautiful, unique frequency snowflake that they are. And it's an incredible thing to cross paths with each and every one of them, to be able to experience that frequency of uniqueness that is hiding in the unseen. Then no longer are you assessing and judging a book by its cover, but you're able to experience the beauty in that unique expression in every single soul you come into contact with. It is so simple. Energy will self-organize, and all the chaos and madness and interference that is happening on every single level, you see it. There were two examples we shared with you, the earth and medicine. Sick people exist because there are people who want to save sick people. Child trafficking exists because there are people who want to save the children. Drugs exist because there are people who want to fight against addiction. There are the people considered doing the bad things, but they only exist because others see themselves as doing the good things. And there is a place in the middle, where the unique expression and the snowflake and frequency of every living being and soul is expressed. But it must be in the middle, because otherwise we are identifying with labels of either of the sides, and that compromises the unique expression. Otherwise, and most of the people on the entire planet that you see, it is just a tug of war. There are the good guys and the bad guys. And the reality is, the way to win at a tug of war is for one side to let go and they all fall down. I'm just going to stop here for a second. One of the ways that these channeling sessions kind of unfold is they give me images. They give me pictures through clairvoyance, and I translate those pictures. And I just, my whole energy field just like exploded when they dropped this picture in. I was like, oh my goodness, that is brilliant. Because really, we've all played a game of tug of war, of actual tug of war, you know, when we were kids or adults or whatever it may be. We just went, we recently, pre-pandemic, 2 years ago, went to a bowl game in Tampa, Florida for our beloved Minnesota Gophers. And those college kids playing tug of war, that was the strategy. If one team would all let go at the same time, then the other team would fall flat on their rears and nobody would land in the mud. Nobody would get dirty in the middle, right? So I'm going to continue on with this transcript as they dive deeper into this game of tug of war that brilliantly describes polarity and how, if you are choosing a side in any way, shape, or form, you are interfering with the self-organizing power that energy has. That is it. Both sides are pulling so hard. They just pull forward a little bit this way and then a little bit that way. And then we just keep going back and forth and we keep pulling so hard. And we'll never have a winner because there is automatically the energy self-organizing in a way that must balance out both sides. It balances out both sides so that the competition is always equal. So long as there are two sides, there is no way for the one side to become more powerful than the other side. And this is the reason that they both exist, because of each other. And so the minute it starts to get out of balance, then more come over to the other team. The competition is always equal. Nobody ever wins. And this is where our energy, our human energy, is being exhausted. So long as you are on a side of the rope, you are contributing to the misuse of our energetic resources. I just want to interject here. We have a lot of examples in society right now of this polarity, but this is true of everything. It's if you are on, you know, it's obviously in politics, obviously with the pandemic, but it's all things, big or small. Anything that you've attached an aspect of your identity to labeling with, and have, there's another side that does not feel like a label that you are exhausting your own energetic resources. The Syzygy method, which is, again, another, probably the legacy work that I am here to teach about that connects to this message today, is, and you'll hear me say it over and over again, is that so long as you are seeing the world through the lens of good, bad, right, wrong, you are only tapping in to a sliver of the resources available to you, of the energetic resources available to you. And so the Syzygy method, its entire purpose is to actually have you swap sides, to swing the pendulum in the other direction. And we do it a lot with money, wealth, consciousness, and we just swing it in the other direction. And so if there's that, it's good to be wealthy and have abundance and it's bad to be in lack, then we actually, through the Syzygy method, find ourselves all the way to the far end of lack and experience goodness in the lack. And that's what then neutralizes and alchemizes this energy of polarity, where you come to such a neutral place where both are good and both are bad, which makes both equal. And if both are equal, then and only then do I believe you can make a conscious choice. Because so long as there is hierarchy and judgment, you might think you're making a conscious choice. But until you've been willing to put the shoes on of the other end of the spectrum, it is not a conscious choice. It is a choice of righteousness. It is a choice of holding on to an identity. It is a choice of judgment. And so here's another really interesting example. We'll use the best example that we've had, our most awesome spiritual growth experience over these last couple of years that has happened worldwide. If you are somebody who doesn't believe masks are effective, in order for you to truly know that that is the stance that you want to take and not just find all the research that perpetuates your own righteousness about that, I invite you to try the opposite on for size and see how much is triggered in you when you start to choose to wear a mask, even if it's not required. And this is where people aren't willing to try on both ends of the spectrum, because it starts to shatter attachments to aspects of their identity that they don't want to go there. And even if people do take this challenge that I'm suggesting, or if you're somebody who wears a mask everywhere you go and feel very safe and protected, take it off and see how many triggers and how much discomfort you have. And again, this is just, I have stuff coming up like, oh, I should not be going this deep into the polarity because, man, this is a charged topic. But unless the MO here, the intention behind suggesting this is, and what I've said all the way through with this massive time of polarity, is unless you have actually empathized and had compassion and recognized both sides of the spectrum fully, not just lip service, I've done my research, but truly immersed yourself in what would I have to see to believe the complete opposite of what I believe right now? What would I have to believe in order to know that the opposite of what I currently believe is true? And you really, truly create that experience fully, like full integration of both sides. I'm really not interested in your opinion, because your opinion is just a projection of your own righteousness and your unwillingness to experience both sides of the spectrum. And until you've experienced both sides of your spectrum, it is not coming from an intuitive place. It is not coming from higher wisdom, and it is not a conscious choice. And if it's not coming from those three places, it's only those three places that is automatically infused for the good of all of humanity. Otherwise, it's not for the good of all of humanity. It is for the good of your own subconscious programming, protecting you from your own shadows. And so it's a very interesting thing to observe, which is why, and to observe in myself when I start to swing a pendulum in any sort of direction. And how it feels and how triggering it is to go in the opposite direction that feels most natural or aligned with what I would say are my values. Oh, I guess that's a whole nother topic about values and how that also interferes with the self-organizing properties of energy and consciousness. Anyways, topic for another day. Okay, let's go ahead and hop back into the transcript. And what we are here to do, what we are here to teach, this is the beings of light, you, is that a number of people are not going to play that game. They are not going to play tug of war because they are starting to see the bigger picture. And that is here, what we are here to show and what we are here now to teach is this bigger picture. Is that as more and more people let go of the rope, then the entire illusion of competition and good, bad, right and wrong, and hierarchy can't exist. If we just let one of the sides win, they fall in the mud and lose. Oh, the paradox. Then exist because there is no more resistance meeting resistance. And these are the pendulums that are driving the world on every single topic. And what this role is, and what we are here to help, is to bring more players to the middle of the game and to play a different game. Because what is in the middle? The snowflakes. Oh, I just got goosebumps. The stillness, the beauty, the unique soul expressions where we all start to come together for the good of the whole, not through our efforts or our judgments or your fears or your attachments, but just because that is exactly how the energy will organize itself. When we stop interfering so much, it's all interference and decoys. Whatever you judge as good or bad, you are interfering with the self-organizing ways of source energy. Whatever you fear, you then judge. And as you feel it and you judge it, you are playing tug of war and creating more of it, more of what you don't want. And so while it feels like a very noble thing to do, to be a scientist and come up with things, to be an activist, your activism is the exact thing creating the thing you need the activism for. It is enabling people, it is enabling the earth, and creating a dynamic that prevents people from tapping into their own highest levels of consciousness, the highest frequencies and vibrations, where their higher selves are running the show, where their higher selves are providing the guidance, the creativity, and the inspiration for the purest existence. This is very tricky. In order to have the desire to help others, on some level, you must believe they are not capable of helping themselves. And yet, what you can do to be helpful is to be the model of your own unique expression snowflake, to see the unique frequency expression imprint, blueprint, and snowflake in others, to know and trust others' soul essence, to allow for the energy to self-organize. And we are complete. That is all on this topic for now. Okay, so that's the end of this channeling session, this transcript. This is a topic that I still find myself grappling with. I mean, it feels so contradictory. I mean, why am I here sharing this podcast if it's not to shift consciousness, which is the exact thing that is interfering, believing that consciousness needs to be shifted? And so I think where I've landed on much of this is, and this actually is in my book, Metaconscious Entrepreneur. It's in the alignment code, the wealth codes, also part of the Unleashed experience. Where I've really landed on this is that me just showing up in this expression, in my own unique expression, in whatever experience I'm having right now, that in and of itself is the only purpose. And the other thing, when they talk about energy self-organizing, I mean, this is an actual, I think, quantum physics concept. It's called entrainment. The more people that just embody, uncover, discover their unique, individuated snowflake expression, the more it cracks other people to discover their unique snowflake expression. But the key here and the nuance is to not find it so that other people find it. That's attachment. That's the interfering part. It's the trust in knowing that when you just show up, when you just follow the guidance, which is why I'm here actually, is I started channeling and they've told me it's time to share it. with no ulterior motives, no, nothing, like nothing other than what you are guided to do, it creates a ripple effect of more people discovering those inner resources. Again, you just see how tricky this is and how nuanced it is. The key is intention. It all comes down to intention. If your intention, again, has a "so that" after it, I'm here so that people wake up. I'm here so that I can be seen. I'm here so that I can connect with community. I'm here so that, all of the "so that's" are the interfering. It's okay to just show up because you feel called to show up. It's okay to express something forward just because you feel called to express it forward. And I mentioned this in a previous podcast, the cleanest and clearest intention is just simply to experience something just because it's an experience. It's very tricky, but I know we're getting it and we're getting there. And again, then I go to the question, why does it matter if we get there and go there? It doesn't matter. It actually doesn't. And why not? Why not go there? Why not shift paradigms? Why not experience something totally new? Why not turn things on their head? All right. You can see and probably sense and feel. This is the grappling of questions that I come to after these sessions like this. And I know you have your own questions and your own triggers. And I invite you to explore them, and I invite you to hold them and see what answers drop into your field. And see what answers drop in that might actually even want to be expressed outwardly. Okay, that is it for today's episode. Again, if this is resonating or trigger, I'm going to leave in the next episode, I'm going to talk about how, whether it's resonating or triggering you, it's for the same purpose as we dive into another channeling session where we talked about your dark soul family and your light soul family. I very well could be showing up in this space as a deep part of your dark soul family or as a part of your light soul family. So we're going to be talking in the next episode about dark soul family and light soul family. So it doesn't really matter if this is triggering you or if it's resonating with you. If it's creating some level of experience in you and it is not neutral, it is serving the purpose that it's meant to serve. So that is it for today. We will see you in the next episode. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd love to hear what this has been like for you, what this experience has been like for you, connecting into this space and tuning into the Evolving Consciousness podcast. Goodbye for now.
Thank you for tuning in and your contribution in raising your own frequency in the entire collectives. For more resources and bonus material, check out the link in the description of this episode. Until next time, happy manifesting.